Amen. Can we maybe just... Thank you. There we go. Bye, donkey. Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. Make a joyful noise before the Lord. She's practicing that this morning. Praise God. I am so excited this morning to be sharing with you all. And not because I believe that what I have to share has power in itself. 2 weekends ago, we were privileged to attend a training time with Mike Dufay, Mike Davies, Ross Lahana, and Mornay van der Walt. And one of the things that Mike Davies stood up and said is he said that his preaching has no power to change anyone. It's only God and the Spirit of God that has the power to change people's lives. And I posture myself in that position this morning that my words have absolutely no power to shift your heart. Have absolutely no power to do what God wants to do in your heart this morning. But I need to be faithful to what I believe the Lord wants me to share this morning. And I'm really trusting that as we are going to do things differently this morning, we're going to respond in worship after the sermon. And I'm really trusting that as we go into a time of response, that each one of us, as we have been called into our place as a minister before the Lord, as a chosen, beloved son and daughter of the Most High, that we would do business with God this morning. That it's not dependent like in the old covenant where we had one person that represented the people before God. We are not those men. You yourself have an open heaven, if you want to call it that, an open entrance into the most holy place this morning to meet face to face with your Father. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? I'm excited for that, and I'm trusting and I'm praying that we get to that place this morning, that you would be able to get face to face with God this morning. I have such an urgency in my heart this morning for that. Without that, we cannot do this Christian life. We cannot do the Christian life without a face to face encounter with the Father. Intimacy with Him, seeing Him on a daily basis. We cannot do the Christian walk without that. Okay, so I want to share out of the book of Proverbs this morning. And the title of my sermon this morning is Times of Refreshment. And in my preparation this week, I've been through some interesting things this week, as Derek alluded to as we started. Some things at my work, and yeah, I'm not going to get into too much detail, but it was weighing on me a little bit this week, and I must say, I was in my preparation, I was struggling, and I was wondering, what should I go into? I initially wanted to preach on something else, and then towards the end of the week, I clearly felt the Lord say to me that He wants to bring a time of refreshment for each one of us. That the call of Jesus when He says, come to me all those who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, is a call for all of us this morning. And I know there's some of us here this morning that are tired of running this race because circumstances have knocked you from every side. The enemy is having a field day with you. And I want to say this morning that there's an opportunity for each one of us this morning to come before God and to receive His rest, to receive that refreshment this morning so that we can run this race with endurance. If you do not know by now, then you will know by the end of this day that we are not called to run a sprint. We are called to run a race of endurance. And what we need for endurance is to see the finish line, to see the one who has called us, and to run with the energy that He provides. The Lord gives grace to the humble so that we run in such a way that pleases His heart. I'm super excited this morning. I just have a sense that God wants to do something big in our lives this morning. If you're struggling with addiction this morning, I'm trusting that God is going to break that thing. If you're struggling with mental health issues, sickness, I'm trusting that the Lord is going to break that this morning. I'm trusting that there will be deliverance from demons this morning. Are we still hungry to see these things happen in our midst? Or are we happy to just come on a Sunday in and out, go on a Wednesday in and out, and just do church? We have a living God that we serve. And he's in our midst. He's in our midst. And I want to create an expectation in our hearts this morning for him to move in a powerful way. So let's get into the scripture. Proverbs 3 verse 5 to 8. And you must have heard this many times before. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Amen? That amen is too soft. If you can't say amen, you ought to say ouch. Amen. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. And these two verses is what I want to focus on this morning is, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And this is a key part for us that I felt that the Lord wants to bring this morning. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. So I want to go into the first part that in verse 7, it speaks about be not wise in your own eyes. Now, if we do not know by now, but our life is filled with decisions that we need to make. Do you agree? You had to decide that you want to, well, you didn't decide to wake up this morning. That was in the Lord's hands. But when you opened your eyes this morning, you had to decide, am I going to stay in the comfort of my bed or am I going to discipline my body to come to church? Right? You had to decide what clothes you were going to wear this morning. You had to decide who you were going to greet and who you were going to have conversation with. Our life is filled with decisions. And when it speaks about do not be wise in your own eyes, a lot of times we can fall into the trap where we have good ideas instead of God ideas. Is it a good idea for you to invest your money? Maybe. Is it a God idea? You need to hear from him directly. Or let me rephrase it. Instead of saying good versus God, we could say principles versus the presence. How many of us live our lives based on Christian principles? We read the word, and the word says do not steal, so we do not steal. Do not be angry, so we are not angry. But how many of us are actively seeking God's presence and from his perspective are living your life? There's a difference between the two. The scripture says that the letter kills and the spirit gives life. And I can tell you that we could come together like this and all of us could be following great principles, right? We have principles. I saw it now as we were in worship. The principle is that we jump, we raise our hands, we sing loudly. We say all the right things to look like Christians. But maybe in our heart of hearts, we are far from the presence of God. Principles versus presence. Or let me put it better. Let me bring it closer to home. Christianity versus Christ. Do we just fall into a people group? I'm sure if you go look at the census stats of South Africa, it would say something along the lines of 80 to 90% of South Africans identify themselves as Christians. But if you look at our nation, it doesn't look like anything that resembles Christ. So what I'm wanting us to see this morning is that when it comes to our decision making, we need to find the Lord's heart for our situations. We need to hear what God is saying in every circumstance. Yes, but this, they did this. That. What is God saying? And we as leaders, sometimes we fall into this thing where we want to counsel people. Right? So what we do when we say, be not wise in your own eyes, we say, just be accountable. Just make sure you bounce off your ideas to your leaders. I've heard that in church. Come on, I know. If you've heard that, just raise your hand. Right? Don't make decisions on your own. Be accountable to someone. And so you go to someone and they tell you what they think. And I want to say that we must not follow the thoughts and the ideas of what other people think in the sense when we are making decisions, firstly. We firstly need to hear God's voice for every circumstance and every decision we need to make. And then when we get counsel from those around us whom God has placed us around, they only validate or affirm what the Lord has already spoken to you. And so it's important that we need to go to the source ourselves. We cannot feed and eat off of someone else's revelation. You yourself need a revelation from God. And that is the wisdom that we pursue. What does God say about your life? What does God say about your circumstance? It might be contrary to good ideas. Amen? John 15, verse 4 to 5, we say this over and over again. It says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I want to read that every single day of my life. Because I read that, and Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And the first thing that I do in my heart is, but. But Lord, I can also do this. But Lord, I am charismatic. But Lord, I am gifted. And the scripture clearly says that apart from him, you can do nothing. In other words, you can do nothing. And I'm trusting that that would hit us between the eyes because it's the truth of God's word. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Be not wise in your own eyes. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 to 12 says, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also, listen to this, so also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And this is the wonderful truth that God gives to us. Now we have received not the Spirit from the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. Beloved, our call is to be friends with the Holy Spirit. Are you still pursuing friendship with the Holy Spirit? I read a book years ago. I won't mention the name of the author because since then he's gone a bit flaky. But I'm not going to give the title of the book, but he had a practice where he would say, good morning, Holy Spirit. And those words just communicated to me a posture of openness, a posture of invitation for the Holy Spirit to lead his life. And I want to ask us, are we still saying good morning, Holy Spirit? Are we still actively inviting his perspective and voice in our daily living? In the mundane tasks of life, do we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? Are we actively praying? If we're not praying, how can we find God's perspective and his heart for our lives? Or have we fallen into the sin of presumption? It's a big word, so I'll define it. So what does it mean to presume? It means to expect or assume, especially with confidence. To suppose to be true without proof. How many of us live in presumption to what we think the Lord must do in our lives? I want to say that you serve a living God. And in our circles these days, we throw around this word free will casually. Right? We are excited to say that we as man have free will. And I want to say, do not forget that God also has free will. God also has free will. And so that means we cannot just expect to define him as he's always going to do something in a certain way. Let us not presume to know that God will always act in a certain way. Psalm 115, verse 2 to 3, I love the scripture. It says, why should the nations say, where is their God? And the response is, our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. That is a God who has free will, that rules over the nations. And that means that we cannot put him in a box. And hopefully it will lead us to the second thing that I want to talk about this morning is the fear of the Lord. Verse 7 of Proverbs 3, verse 7 says, be not wise in your own eyes, and then it instructs us to fear the Lord. And I believe that we need a revelation of God's power in our lives. When we speak about the fear of the Lord, it needs to be, we need to see God's power move in our lives. That brings us to a place of reverence and awe, which results in worship. What does your worship look like? Are you still excited to sing songs to Him? If you don't know by now, then you know that in Wellington, we love to sing spontaneous songs. We love to go off the script that's on the board. What do we do in those moments? Is there a song in our heart that arises that we can sing to God that's not on the board, that expresses who we are, what we feel about Him? Is that still happening in your heart? This is something we must cultivate in our midst. As we read God's word, it drives us to a place of worship so that we fear Him in a healthy way. Now, when I speak about fear, I do not mean that you are afraid of God, although I do think that there is a place for us to be afraid of God in a healthy way. I'll give you an example. The God who builds His church in Acts, what does He do? He not only gives gifts and pours out the Spirit, but He also kills those who lie to the Spirit. Acts chapter 5, in the new covenant, after Jesus has died and rose again and has died and paid the price for our sins, that we can live by grace, God kills Ananias and Sapphira for lying to the Holy Spirit. And the scripture says that fear came across the church and many were added to their numbers. That is in the new covenant. God is moving in that way. I don't think it's a prayer that we want to ask God for. Say, Lord, build your church and do it in that way. It's not a prayer that we want to ask. But this is the God who we serve. This is the God who we serve. He's not just on the pages that we read and we comfort ourselves. And in the morning, we spend 15 to 30 minutes with Him. We have our quiet time and then we can tick that box off the list for the rest of the day. He is a living God with the free will to do as He pleases. And we as His creatures and sons and daughters would do well to position ourselves in a place of humility and awe and reverence before Him. He is not a God to be played with. I'll read you a couple of scriptures just to show you the magnitude of the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 14, verse 26 to 27, it says, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. Listen to these promises. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. If you're experiencing death in your walk with the Lord, maybe you've lost the fear of the Lord. It says it's a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. You want to escape death and the snares of death, those things that are holding on to you, repetitive sin that keeps on knocking at your door, find the fear of the Lord. Psalm 34, verse 8 to 10. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him will have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Provision. You want to see God's provision in your life? Fear Him. Psalm 25, verse 12 to 14. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will He instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear Him, and He makes known to them His covenant. You want to know the secret things of the Lord? You want to know His heart? You want to be intimate with Him on a deeper level? Seek the fear of the Lord in your life. And I really want to hammer this one home. Do we still have a desire for Him? Last week, Modus preached about being eternity-minded. And I feel for many of us, myself included, there is this constant temptation to preserve myself and what I have in this life. I know it. I know that these are the things that we fight. Career, money. These are the things that we have to contend with. But is He still our prized possession and treasure? I remember when I got saved, I couldn't stop reading my Bible. I couldn't get enough of Jesus. Why is it that as we journey with the Lord, that fire begins to dwindle? Do we still have a deep desire for Him? Is He still our prized possession and our treasure? Do we still value and love Him above all things, even our own lives? That is something you need to bring before the Lord this morning. Do you still love Him? And then the last one is to turn away from evil. You'll see there in verse 7, it speaks about if we want the refreshment and the healing, be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. Now, when we speak about evil, I want to say it speaks about sin. And there are two types of sin. Usually, when we think of sin, we think of sins of commission. Now, I'm going to explain what this means. Sins of commission means that these are sinful actions that we proactively do. In other words, we willfully sin. Right? Like lying or stealing. These are examples of sins of commission where there's a willful understanding that what I'm doing is sinful and I still do it. But then there's also sins of omission. And sins of omission is a sin that takes place because of not doing something that is right. So sins of commission, I know this is wrong and I do it. Sins of omission, I know this is right and I don't do it. And both of those scenarios are sin before the Lord. So the first question that I want to pose to us this morning when it comes to sins of commission, is there hidden repetitive sin in your life? Is there something that you have walked in for years that you haven't brought into the light? 1 John 1 verse 7 to 9 speaks about bringing things into the light. And as we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Right? James 5 verse 16 encourages us to confess our sins one to another that we may be healed. So, are there sins that you are hiding, that you are constantly falling into? And I know for many of us, we think of purity sins, right? Sexual impurity. Yes, move. When we think of, when I say hidden sins or repetitive sins, the first thing that comes into mind is addiction to pornography. Right? That's one of the common ones that people think about. But what about the sin of anger? The ones that we make excuses for. The ones that we pet. Oh, I'll deal with this later. This is not so dangerous to my life. This doesn't have a negative impact on those around me. Sin is sin and we must deal harshly with sin. The Bible says that we must kill sin. That we must not entertain it. So sin of anger, it must go. We must deal with the sin of anger. Slander. How easy is it for us to come here and sing, Lord, you are good, you are great, you are kind. And then we walk out here and say, yo, have you seen what I broer aan het vandag? Yo. Yo. Yes, man, I man. Oh, can I broer fatty man? Yo. So easily do we praise God with these lips and then we walk out and we slander someone. Or we gossip about someone. Or we carry offense in our heart towards someone else. Sins of commission. We need to bring those things into the light. We need to deal ruthlessly with those things. And then secondly, sins of omission. What have you not obeyed God in? Has He asked you to do something which you have not yet done? It's sin. And I'll prove it to you. James 4 verse 17 says, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is what? Sin. So in both scenarios, we need to confess, Lord, I have sins of commission and I have sins of omission. And all of us are actually guilty before the Lord. John 1 John speaks about none of us can say that we have no sin. The thing that we need to realize is what is our response and what do we do with our sin? We bring it before the Lord and we bring it before one another. I remember a couple of months ago, Mike was up here and he spoke about confessing our sins to one another. Do you guys remember that? And he spoke about and he said something so powerful that has stuck with me. He said, some of you are not free from habitual sin because you do not confess it one to another. There's power in bringing something into the light to a brother and say, I'm struggling in this thing. Pray for me. Hold me accountable. Let's find ways to deal with that thing. Let me come alongside you to help you kill your sin. And so as the scripture says, there is a refreshment that waits for us. And I think many of us are tired. Some of you have lost hope in running the race. And I'm trusting that this morning, we're going to go into a time of worship after this, that there would be a time and a place for you to come before the Lord and to do business with Him. To confess, Lord, I think I am wise in my own eyes. Some of us must own up and say that I am prideful. The Lord opposes the proud and He gives grace to the humble. It's a truth. Some of us have lost the fear of God. We have begun to treat Him as common. As just God. It's just, you know. Yeah, I'll you know, it's just Him. Just Him again. It's just His word. It's just worship. I don't really need to engage. You know, it's fine. I'll just chill at the back. It's a living God who deserves all of our worship, deserves our lives laid down, deserves our humility before Him. And for some of us, it's confessing our sins, saying, Lord, I have sinned. Forgive me for my sin. Going to a brother and saying, these are the things that I'm struggling with. And the response for us this morning is to repent. And sometimes I've made this mistake in saying repentance is a 360-degree turning, and it's not a 360-degree turning because that would mean that I start here and I end here. Repentance is a 180-degree turning. But I want to take it a step further in saying that repentance is not just I'm walking this way and then I turn this way. Repentance is a turning away from the things that I have been busy with that offends God and turning and walking towards God. It's not standing in limbo. It's walking and actively pursuing the Lord. Acts 3 verse 19 to 20 says, repent therefore and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out. And this is the powerful verse, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus. And so I want to throw out this for us this morning. I don't know anyone's eternal destination here this morning. But the answer for us, whether you are saved or not yet saved, is to once again embrace the truth of the gospel. Which is this, none of us are wise. Not a single one of us are wise. There is only one man in the history of mankind that was wise before the Lord. His name is Jesus. All of us have gone astray and live without the fear of the Lord. That's all of us at one point. We are enslaved to sin, and we hate God and we love evil. This is our state. But while we were sinners, God sent Jesus to die on our behalf, satisfying the wrath of God and paying the penalty and debt of sin that we owed to a holy God. We are the accused. We are the guilty before a living God. We deserve His full wrath and punishment. damnation. But while we were sinners, Christ died for his enemies. And today he stands and he knocks. And he does not just stand and knock on the door of our hearts, but he commands all of us to repent and believe the gospel for the forgiveness of sins. And our response this morning is to accept the free gift of salvation, to confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead and that he is alive and that he is returning for a people of his own possession. And so I want us to, maybe let's all stand this morning, and I'm going to ask us, I'm going to lead us in a prayer this morning. And after that, we will go into a time of worship. And I'm going to lead us in a